The following is a presentation of the Premier Dance Network.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I'm the director and designer of Abigail Mentor Designs. When I was a soloist with the Pennsylvania Ballet, I wanted more coverage than just a Leo and tights could offer. But the skirts I found made me feel frumpy and short. I wanted a bit of whimsy to inspire creativity for those long rehearsal days. Inspired by the fond memories I have of sewing with my grandmother as a kid, I built a piece to suit my body type and my spirit. Turns out, the shape I built fits every dancer's body type, framing the long, lean lines we strive for. Girls love how the skirt is flirty and fun, and I love how this piece inspires a healthy body image for them. That the skirt exhibits our best qualities as dancers. Our power, our creativity, our femininity. Now, I'm delighted to extend my signature design to you through my website, abigailmentordesigns.com. And as a thank you for listening, I'm offering a 10% discount on your next purchase of an Abigail Mentor Designs skirt. Go to abigailmentordesigns.com and enter the promo code PDN at checkout. The promotion is good for the month of April, so you can feel fun and flirty for spring. Seasonal colors are limited, so be sure to go to abigailmentordesigns.com before they're gone. Thanks so much. Keep dancing your hearts out.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 40 of the Catherine Morgan Show podcast. Because it's episode 40, today I thought we'd do something a little bit different. And I am going to tell you guys five things I wish I knew at 16. Some apply to being a dancer, some don't. But now that I am 27, I'm almost 30, there are some things that I wish I could go back and tell my 16-year-old self, you know, that you think are so important, that you think, you know, are going to be life-changing. So that's what I want to do today. So the first thing is, and it sort of has to do with dancing, you don't have to be the best one in the room to get the job. I know that sounds kind of weird, but just because you are a technical whiz, just because you can wrap your leg around your head, you know, or do 14 million pirouettes, doesn't mean, you know, you're not going to do well. I was very much a dancer that was all about the musicality and the artistry. I never could do the 4 million pirouettes. I could never like wrap my leg around my head. I was always the one that was sort of the artist in the room, not the best technically, never. I never quite felt in class that I was ever the best one in the room, ever. I had good technique, but it wasn't tip top, you know, Tyler Peck and her crystal pristine technique, you know. But that didn't mean that I didn't do well. You know, I had a very successful career. I still do. One of the things that made me stand out was that artistry. And it didn't matter that I wasn't the best one in the room. You know, it was kind of like I had my own special strength. So if you are struggling, find what your strength is and just play on it. And know that you don't have to be the best one in everything. You're not going to be. There's always going to be a better jumper, a better turner, a better adagio. Because think about it. It's also built on body type and leg type. You know, the turners might not be the best adagio dancers, and the jumpers might not be the best turners, you know? So there's always a strength and there's always a weakness. So you don't have to be the absolute best one in the room to whatever you think being the best one in the room is. You have to play to your strengths and be proud of that. And because I played to the artistry, that ended up serving me well. But at the time, I didn't know that. At the time, I was obsessed with trying to get my leg higher or trying to get better turns or, you know, whatever it is. So number one, you don't have to be the best one in the room to have a very successful career and to do well. If I had known that, I probably would have been a lot happier of a dancer, to be honest with you. The second one is nothing to do with dance, and that is that the people you go to regular school with later on in life, well, you know, when you're in middle school and you're in high school, you think that whatever they think of you is the biggest thing in the world, and if you're not in with the clique and if you're not in with these people or whatever, I don't ever speak to anybody I went to normal school with now. They don't matter as much as you think. Now, some people keep their high school friends. Some people have two or three people that they remain lifelong friends with, but that is not the norm. The usual thing is that whoever you went to middle school and high school with, you kind of just lose touch with. And it's not a bad thing. It's just how life works. You move away, your priorities shift, you get a job, you make new friends. And so when you're in the midst of that in middle school and high school, if you're in that right now, if any of my listeners are in that age, the people you are in school with are not the be-all, end-all. They will not, most likely, not matter once you get out of high school. So if you're in there thinking that you have to make these people like you or what they think is the most important thing in the world, it's not. I honestly can't remember the last time I talked to anybody from high school or middle school because I went away and moved to New York, you know? I went away in the middle of ninth grade, and that was one of the best things for me because I ended up, you know, not seeing them. Because when I was in ninth grade, I hated school. I was not liked because of ballet. And, you know, I went to a very prep school that was all about football and didn't have many friends. And at the time, you think it's the worst thing in the world. The minute I moved to New York, I didn't think a thing more about them, you know? So I'm telling you, even if you stay in your hometown, these people, you might not, you know, ever see them again. And again, it's not a bad thing. It's just, I'm trying to help you guys not get so caught up in it. You know, what they think of you in the grand scheme of life does not matter, you know? So it's not going to be life-ending if your high school friends or your people you go to high school with don't like you. So take a big inhale and exhale and know it's not going to last forever. Okay, number three, this is kind of in the dancer world, kind of not. Being stick thin is not everything. There was a year, I think I was about 15 and 16, where, and I've talked about this on YouTube before, I ate nothing but like egg whites and lettuce and weighed about 96 pounds at the height I am now, which is 5'5". And it was like everything to me. And I was obsessed with, you know, not eating much and calculating every single calorie and counting like the Parmesan on my salad. You know what I mean? It was all consuming. And trying to maintain being thin. And the minute I started eating well, I, you know, immediately gained 10 pounds and actually still looked fine. You know what I mean? When I was dancing a lot in New York, you have to eat more to maintain your health. So being skinny is not everything. I felt miserable, even though I quote unquote looked good. It was all consuming. And once I started to let that go and started to focus on being healthy and having enough fuel for my body, yes, I gained about 10, 15 pounds. My happy dancing weight at New York City Ballet was about 108 to 112. And I was much happier, felt fabulous. I even remember one year just focusing on health and building muscles and actually gained about 5 pounds and went up to about 118. And I remember Peter Martins coming over to me and saying, "You look better than I've ever seen you." And in fact, I actually weighed more. So being skinny and the scale is not everything. You hear many diet gurus say, put the scale away, and they're right. You know, you can actually quote unquote look better and weigh more if you focus on health and building muscle and toning your body. And I felt better. You know, when I wasn't eating much, it took me anything and everything just to get through a day. So it is not everything. Start focusing on your health. Start focusing on, you know, fueling your body, and your whole mindset will change. Because the other problem with that is that it is all consuming. You can't go out to eat. You can't enjoy, you know, socializing if you're so worried about calories and, you know, if your head revolves around that. And it's a slow process. But once you start to shift your brain, your life becomes so much better. Number four is going to sound super cliche, but it was a huge light bulb moment for me, and this was probably one of the most important things I learned about myself, and that is to be proud of who you are. And what I mean by that is don't be ashamed of who you are. For example, I've always been the class act, the lady in the room. I kid you not, my nickname at New York City Ballet was Dame Catherine. because every, you know, it's somebody's called me that once, it just stuck because they always like, oh, you know, Katie's the royalty in the room, just because that's how I acted. I wasn't trying to put on airs, but I did not party or drink or do drugs, still don't. And, you know, by drink, I mean, I'll have the occasional glass of wine, but I am not a drinker by any means. And when I was younger, about 16, 17, and just getting up to New York and figuring out the whole New York City Ballet thing, everybody was partying and, you know, cool and going out on the town. And for a while, I resented that. I was like, oh, I want to be like that. And, you know, I just don't understand why I feel like this nerd or this goody two shoes, you know. But at the same time, I never tried to join them, you know, because it's not who I am. And I just was so upset by it and just like, oh, why can't I be cool? And then we were in Denmark and there was this huge party thrown for the company. And one of the dancers came up to me, you know, there was a lot of alcohol going on and, you know, not nice dancing going on. And one of the dancers came up to me and said, oh, you're not drinking, are you? Or something like, I bet you haven't had a drink, have you? And I said, well, no, I haven't. And then he said, yes, of course, because you're Dame Catherine. And he meant it as a compliment. He was complimenting me for being such a class act and a lady and the different one in the room. And at that moment, I realized, you know what? I don't need to be ashamed of this. I need to be proud of this. This is who I am. You know, I am the poised one in the room, and I like that. So I kind of ran with it from there. My whole outlook changed. I didn't worry about fitting in anymore. I didn't worry about trying to be cool or make people like me. They actually respected me for who I already was. And even if you're not that person, if you are the free spirit in the room, if you are the, you know, nerdy one in the room that knows all the knowledge, you know, depending on your, whether you're a dancer or not, doesn't matter. Who you are, be proud of it. Don't try and change it to please people because you will never, ever be happy. Once I ran with who I was, you know, and the Dame Catherine name stuck and I became Dame Catherine and loved being Dame Catherine, that's when I was happiest. And it was never a cut to me. They all actually meant it as a compliment in the first place. So be proud of who you are. And if you're like me and you're not the partier and you, you know, take your job very seriously and get to bed at 10 o'clock every night, be proud of it. You know, and if you're not, if you are a, you love reveling in social situations and you're the social butterfly and that makes you happy, be proud of it. You know, you don't have to be the straight-laced like some of us, you know. But don't try and change who you are to please people because you will never be happy. And that is something I wish I knew at 16. Because that kind of goes back to the high school one. You know, these friends, trying to please them is not really going to matter in like 5 years. So be proud of who you are and don't try and change it. All right, last one is a good lesson, no matter who you are, is when you find something you love, go after it. I was at the very preppy football school, like I told you guys earlier, and everybody was all about football and everybody was all about society and kind of, you know, was not, I was very much the outsider for liking ballet. What do you mean you're missing the football game to go to rehearsal? You know, it just endless. And it kind of like the last one, I felt for a while, I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't be a ballerina. Maybe I should give this up because it's not cool or whatever. But I'm glad I stuck with it because it's what I loved to do. I didn't want to do anything else. You know, when you find something that you love to do, no matter what it is, go after it. Follow that goal with everything you have. It's like the pleasing people thing. You know, you're never going to please everybody. Somebody is always going to have something to say about you, you know, good, bad, or otherwise. So if you have a passion, if you have something that you love to do, that you want to do, go after it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about if the people at high school are making fun of you that you're not going to the football game, you know, because in 5 years when you're a soloist with New York City Ballet and they're not doing anything, who won, you know? So don't worry about it. Go after your dream. If all you dancers are listening to me today and you want to be a ballerina more than anything or a male ballet dancer, you know, especially for the guys, I know that's difficult. Being the only male, I'm sure, in school who dances, in 5 years, those people are not going to matter. You know, in 2 years, those people, you might not ever have to see them again. You just happen to be around them for high school. So go after your dream, because what happens if you give in to them and you don't? You know, you'll always wonder, you'll always have that regret. So if you find something you love to do, go after it with everything you have. Do whatever you can to make it happen, and don't worry about it. Because like I said, you're never going to make everybody happy, ever. You know, there will always be somebody that finds something to make fun of you about, to gripe about, and usually because those people are not doing what they want to do. So if you have a passion, if you have a dream, go after it. So that's it. Those are my five things I wish I knew at 16. And those are still things that we all work on. You know, just because I'm 27 now doesn't mean, oh, everything's wonderful and I've learned all my lessons. You know, you're constantly learning. You're constantly figuring things out. But those are things that I wish I had known when I was younger. And I think they can apply to everybody, dancer or not. So I hope that helped you to get today, especially if you're in that age where you're still in high school and you're trying to be a dancer, or you're still in high school trying to do whatever it is you want to do. It can be very, very tricky. And know all of us that have been there, and you're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay. So for today's Katie's Corner, I'm going to link a documentary for you guys that inspired me to join the New York City Ballet when I was little, and I probably watched it twice a week when I was younger. And it's called Living a Ballet Dream, Six Dancers Tell Their Stories. And actually, as it turns out, one of my really good friends, Janelle Manzi, is on there. When she was little, she's now in the core at New York City Ballet. So it's just a really fun documentary, kind of shows you in and outs of both SAB and New York City Ballet, and one that I literally lived off of when I was younger. So I'll link that for you on the show notes page of episode 40 on KatherineMorganOnline.com. You can follow me on YouTube or Facebook. Just type in Katherine Morgan and I should pop right up. You can also follow me on Instagram at Katherine_Morgan and on Twitter and Snapchat at Katherine_E. Morgan. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys next time.